Would you go back to that last slide? That's what the whole idea of community is. We. Us. Not individuals, and not just me by myself, but it's we. Do we believe in God the Father? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we believe in the Holy Spirit? Do we, as a community? And the last two words are, we believe. Thanks for going to that slide. I appreciate it. My understanding of community has changed over the years. And I think it's grown, but it's definitely changed. And what is community? And what's it all about? One thing that's changed it is time. I haven't always had gray hair. It's not blue. And when I think about that, and I think, well, you gain wisdom. There's been failure in relationships. I've experienced them. I've experienced failure in relationships in a marriage. I've experienced failure in relationships in a church. Well, how can that happen? It does. I've experienced what I call brutal betrayal. Someone that's given me a hug. You have too. And walked away. We all experience that. But I've also experienced sacrificial love, which has helped in that community relationship. I've experienced what I think I would call unimaginable love by strangers. It happened in August in 2014 when we came here. You didn't know me. I had met 9 people on a pastor parish committee, and one of those isn't here. I wish he was. Why? Because he could see what could happen in community, as we have seen. Friendships and community have to be reciprocal. It can't just be give, 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 give without something being given back in return, or it's no longer a friendship. It's no longer reciprocal. It's no longer giving. I tell young people when they're planning on getting married, and somehow between now and September, you have 3 weddings. But I tell them, marriage is not 50-50. What do you mean? There's 2 people and 50-50 is 100. But if you give more than you get, what's God say? You get more than you give. We talked about tithing last week, and the same principle holds true in no matter what we do. Give, and it will be given unto you, and the same thing is true in community. So how does it work? Well, we've often heard this phrase, it's all about me. Ever heard that? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever used it. But have you ever heard that phrase, it's all about me? Cindy and I jokingly talk about it, and I know you do too. I hope she's joking. But we talk about that in community, and a marriage is community. And that's what relationships are all about. I was thinking this week, last week I was talking to Dick as we were out. And I think I missed his dessert again last week, but we were out there talking, and he was telling me about some guys that he plays cards with. And I was thinking, Rogers told me that, you know, the same thing, that these, you know, they get together and they play cards. That's a community. That's people that you're in relationship with, that you enjoy being around. And they mean something. It's a friendship. It's something that's different. A lot of people have written books. A lot of you probably have read books and talk about seeing things change and people change. There was a book written by a psychologist by the name of David Banner. And he says that friendship has several non-negotiable ingredients, one of which is true friendship and community, or what we're in, is reciprocal in that we give and take. And there is give and take in healthy relationships. No one person, as I said earlier, can give it all. And he said that it must be reciprocal. It must be shared. It must be given, and it must be taken back. It's a back and forth relationship. And the same thing holds true in everything that we do. I have said this in the past, and I will say this again, there are no perfect churches. And that's because there are imperfect pastors like me. And yes, there are imperfect saints sitting in the seats, seeking perfection and seeking to find God's direction in their life. So if somebody doesn't like something that's going on here, and they think that they're going to find satisfaction somewhere else, and I don't use the word ain't, but it ain't going to happen. And it's not going to happen with any other church. And that's a tough thing sometimes to understand, because we think that if I change community, maybe if I go somewhere else, it'll change. But it doesn't. Because we're the same imperfect human, seeking perfection and seeking to grow. So I guess my question would be, and it would be in a situation of anywhere, that if we see something going on that we don't like somewhere, what do we do? Do we look around and see what other people are doing and think, whoa, maybe it could be me? I've had to do that. And I've had to stop and take a look at that. We all have fuzzy boundaries in our lives about what our relationships are. I am paid to be a pastor. And I am paid to make friends with people that I don't know. I would do that without pay, because that's just me. But I'm also paid to pastor this church. Sometimes that calls for tough conversation. Some people don't like tough conversation. I don't. But sometimes it calls for that. So what I have come to try to figure out is the difference between that close personal friendship with someone and then the not so close personal relationship that may develop into a close personal relationship because of something that I've said that may change them. But we all only survive, and our souls only survive in community. And I've said this before, that we are made of body, soul, and spirit. Our soul becomes our mind. And our mind can only be changed a lot of times by the influences around us and the things that we see that are different. Things that occur in our lives that we can build on from someone else. And things that we learn to. Some guy wrote a book in 2008. I can't remember the name of it, but it was called Soul Custody. And he talks about soul companions in this chapter, and he says, choosing your friends. He says that companionship is one of God's great desires for us. Since God is Trinity and we are created in the image of God, we learn that the soul was created to actually be in and thrive in community. There's a phrase that no man stands alone, I think. No man can can live alone, and we're not designed for that. We are designed to be in relationship with people. And so when we miss that opportunity to share God's gifts with each other, and I've said this before, and how often we hear people say, and I heard somebody tell me this week, I can be a Christian and not go to church. And I said, you're absolutely right. But you're cheating me. And they looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, because you may have some gift or something that I need, and you're keeping it to yourself. Well, I never looked at it that way. Well, that's because you didn't look at it because you're selfish. I mean, that's the whole idea of community. That's the whole idea of being in relationship with someone. And it's good for us to stop and think about that. In this book, he also, there's a chapter in there about loneliness and moving out of loneliness into what he calls the actual experience of tasting friendship. And I can see that as I grew up and as I grew older. I found friends. I found new friends. I found different friends. I found friends that I thought were friends that weren't friends. We all know those, and we all have those. I want to share with you a portion of the scripture that Roger read earlier from Acts. It said, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles. I believe as you prayed for other people today, miracles are going to take place. I believe that. I want you to believe that, because the community needs to be in unity and in oneness. And if we don't think that's the case, then what do we think? He said, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy. And there's that word generosity again. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's interesting that when he talks about generosity, enjoying the goodwill of all people. We're being generous with ourselves. Other people are being generous with themselves. There's a small and seemingly insignificant verse in the Bible. It's out of John 2:24. And it simply says that Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. And I looked at that and I tried to, what's he talking about? What Jesus was doing was guarding his heart to people that weren't in community, that weren't in fellowship, that weren't in union with him. There was a guy by the name of Barry that wrote a few sentences, somebody said, and it says, community, says, I'm beginning to understand, is that through a skill I have never learned or valued, the ability to pass time with people you do not and will not know well, talking about nothing in particular with no end in mind, just to build trust, just to be sure of each other, just to be neighborly. And he goes on to say, community's not something like a camcorder or like a breakfast nook. It's something you do. It's something you do all the time, and we build relationships. We're constantly building relationships with our families, with our spouses, with people in church, with people we work with people that surround us. We're constantly doing that. And that kind of came, that became kind of a light bulb that turned something on to me when I read this, because it totally changed that whole idea of what I thought community was, because I thought community was just a bunch of people getting together. But they have to get together in unity. They have to get together in oneness. So it's something that we do. It's something that we practice. So we go to church on Sunday and we all sit in chairs. We all probably sit in the same place where we did last week. Normally surrounded by people that we want to sit with. We sing. We pray. We read scripture. We laugh. We give. We stand up together. We sit down together. We sing the doxology. We pray the Lord's Prayer in unison. With what? One voice and one motion. That's oneness. That's community. And you know what? We do that in one building and in one place. And what do we find? We find ourselves warmly connected to one another. I'm glad that Ray got up and shared what he did, because I don't think I could have done it. And he had a hard time doing it a couple weeks ago. But that's community. And that's oneness. And that's being together. And so, what are we doing here? And what's this all about? And what's community all about? Someone said there's a lot in common to build upon. There's some ground to practice. All that I have learned thus far in my life about friendship and community is it takes tolerance and mercy. Everything that, you know, and without tolerance and without mercy, he goes on to say, all friendships die. Without being able to tolerate something about someone else that you don't like, something about someone else that bothers you. I put something in the newsletter this week, and if you've had an opportunity to see it, but it was about God moving people. God moves people out of churches because he either wants them somewhere else, bear with me, or he doesn't want them here. That's the way God works. God brings people in here because he's moved them in here for a reason. Or he didn't want them somewhere else. But that's God moving on us and talking about us and working with us. He's telling us that friendships will die, will shrivel up, if there is not that type of tolerance and that type of giving and taking. And one of the things that, and I thought was interesting, I read this week and I thought it was interesting. He said about 20 years ago, there was an article for a newspaper entitled, "Who are the six people that will carry your casket to the grave?" The article didn't answer the question, but it talks about who are those people in your life that are meaningful, and who are those people that we have built friendships with, that we have built relationships with, that we are in community with. And I thought it was an interesting question. And I all, you know, and following that, I thought, well, you know, I've talked about a lot of things since we've been here. We've changed some things we haven't. But if we'd have changed everything that I wanted to change, we'd have changed 100% of the things I wanted, I'd have been happy. But because we didn't mean I picked up my Bible and went somewhere else. And you know what that means? It means you don't pick up your Bible and go somewhere else. That's tough for some people to hear. But that's what mercy is. That's what God's all about. I don't understand everything. The more that I live on this earth, I realize how much less I know than what I thought I knew. I've changed my mind. I've grown to understand different things. But Paul said it well. He said, sometimes we need to put aside childish notions and take hold of a more mature understanding of things. I find myself doing that. Finding things that just aren't as important as I thought they used to be. Things that I don't think are such a big deal anymore. I found out that I don't always have to be right. True story. And I found out that I'm probably wrong more than I'm right. But that's okay. I'm a huge fan of Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer said something one time in closing. I'm going to share this. She says, "I think I'm right, but I could be wrong." And that's really what community is I think I'm right, but you know what? I could be wrong. And so as a result of I think I could be wrong, I'm going to be tolerant. I'm going to show some mercy, and I'm going to worship where God has brought me. And if that goofy Gallagher says, "Would you mind getting up and going standing by somebody and putting your hands on their shoulder and pray for them?" I'm going to do it. I was shown that yesterday to do that. I didn't know what I was going to hear today. I didn't know what the needs were. I knew some of them. I didn't know them all. This stuff doesn't happen by accident. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for community. We thank you for relationships, and we thank you for tolerance and mercy and grace and love beyond any idea, any thought, any belief that we may have ever conceived in our minds. We're thankful that you created the church and you created it and you fill it with those people and our people that you want, because there is a ministry here that needs their gifts and their grace. And so we rejoice today that you have brought us together in community, in unity, in oneness. In your name we pray. Amen.